God bless
Recording.
you. God bless you and good day, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are, whatever time it is. We welcome you to our weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer, where we come together to share the word of God and to pray one for another in the name of Jesus Christ. I am Bishop Horace Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. And it is my pleasure to be with you all tonight to share what thus saith the Lord. We're going to jump right in. Today is Tuesday, August the 10th. My goodness, the summer is almost gone. Summer is almost over. But we are grateful to the Lord to be yet in the land of the living. And so let's look to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful for the privilege of having you in our lives. Lord God, no matter who isn't there, no matter who is there, we thank you that you will always be there. Your promise is to never leave us or forsake us, but not only will you be there, but you'll matter. You'll make a difference. Hallelujah. And tonight we thank you for the difference that you have made, for the yokes that you have destroyed, for the revelations that you have given, for the inspiration that you have planted within us. We thank you this night, and we ask that you would meet us in this lesson, meet us in the prayer, meet us in this moment as we've come together to seek your face, to hear your voice, to know your will, to say yes to it. And even now, Lord God, we thank you for these precious souls that you have entrusted us to share your word with tonight. We ask your blessings to be upon them and upon all those that will hear this word even after this evening. We thank you again for them all. To God be the glory. Bless us, Lord. Give us a word. I thank you for what you already put in our spirit. Lord God, unctionize us as we share with your people what you have placed within our spirits. We thank you for this in advance. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. We're going to share our screen and get this moving. Please let me know when you're able to see the share screen. Somebody can put it in the chat. Okay. Very good. Amen. Thank you. Praise the name of God. We're going to jump right in. And so the Lord has put this in my spirit to delve in deeper with you all. We shared with you a word that God had placed in our spirit at the beginning of the month, and it is in line with the overall theme, it shall be done in 21, which is the theme that the Lord had placed within our spirits. And this theme harkens back to what God had shared with us, even out of 2 Chronicles. And I think that is so important that when we consider what God has placed within our spirit, that we don't take this at all for granted, that we hold on to this revelation, because God has given us a revelation. It truly is a revelation. When we talked about the foundational verses that he shared with us out of Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and then Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. So again, Matthew 21, Ephesians chapter 3, and Romans chapter 4, but each one of those chapters, verses 20 and 21, there was a powerful synergy between them all, and it spoke resoundingly in my spirit when the Lord directed me there as we began this year. And I just wanted to think about this for a moment, because the Lord is speaking to you right now about progress in your life, progress in your walk. Ah, God, I just need somebody to write it down and write it down in your notes. Progress, progress, progress. God is talking and saying progress tonight. And I don't want you to let anything stop you. I don't want you to let anything get in your way. Even, you know, I was sharing a little while ago the verse of scripture out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, how that even there, the Lord was speaking to the people of God. And this was a text that had to do with them overcoming their enemies. King Jehoshaphat was leading the people of Judah, and the enemy came up against them. You can read that again. That's again 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The powerful part of the text comes out of verse 20 and 21, where they rose up early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness to Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear ye, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." This was the brilliant plan that God unfolded to his people that brought about a mighty deliverance that ultimately resulted in the destruction of their enemies. And so all of these chapters and verses that speak to what's going on right now. And I know that when we came into 2021, it didn't look like it was going to be a good thing, but God is turning things around right now. He's turning things around right now. And I want somebody to just make a note that it's turning around. It's turning around. Let's go into our lesson. Romans chapter 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The image that you see shows the image of a person in a prison cell. For those that are not using the visual feature, the image is a man in a prison, a walled prison with manacles, shackles that are on the wall, clearly secured by pins that are not safety pins or bobby pins or anything of that nature, but rods that are put into the wall to secure it. And we see that those shackles have come off his arms, come off his wrists, and he's looking surprised because he understands that based upon where he is and what has happened, that he should still be a prisoner. But something has happened to bring freedom. And in this picture, we get a glimpse of the concept of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which brings freedom from the law of sin and death. The Lord had dealt with me concerning the idea of laws and systems. And one of the things that I want to help you to understand is that the laws are made by God. All laws that exist, L-A-W-S, all laws that exist were made by God. Man discovers those laws, and then they build systems around the laws. For example, if you're talking about flight, airplanes flying in the air, rockets going to the moon, the whole idea of flight, it's built upon laws. And understanding how the laws work allows for conveniences to be developed. A system was developed called air transportation. The entire system of air transportation is built upon laws that were established by God. Man cannot make these laws. Man can only learn them, understand them, and then apply them in systems. Now, a system is anything, and this is an acronym for those that are taking notes. Here comes your acronym. It saves you stress, time, energy, and money. That's what a system is. If the system is not doing those things for you, then the system is not working, or you need another system. But again, a system is anything that saves you, and this is the acronym, S-Y-S-T-E-M, saves you stress, time, energy, and money. And in the world, Just about everything in our daily lives is affected by systems, again, that are built upon laws. Riding a bicycle, driving a car, using an elevator, planes in the sky, even your cell phone. It's built upon technical systems that depend upon laws. You pull the laws out, the systems collapse. I saw ya. When the laws are not there, the systems collapse because the systems need the laws to work. Taking account a plane in the sky. You've got the laws of lift and aerodynamics. You've got the laws of gravity. You've got all of these laws, and built upon them is the system of aerodynamics, engines, and propulsion. All of those systems are built upon the laws. Man does not make the law of gravity, but they understood it and they take advantage of it to benefit themselves. That's the system. And so everything in our lives, everything that goes, that's a part of our regular day routine, it's affected by systems that are built upon laws. Your body as well is a powerful example of God's omnipotence, his omniscience, his brilliance. And when we take a look at this, we understand that even your body is made up of several systems. The integumentary system, the skeletal system, the muscular system, respiratory system, the immune system, the cardiovascular system, the lymphatic system, the digestive system, the urinary system, the endocrine system, the reproductive system, and the nervous system. All of these systems are necessary for your body to work the way it's designed to work. And if any of those systems are out of order, it affects the entire body, because the body is dependent upon all of those systems working. When we talk about the deliverance that is made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's understand that even churches, when operating to its efficiency, it's built upon systems that God has put in place for the effective and the powerful operation of the church. These laws are there. These systems are there. Worship, evangelism, how do we engage people and retain them? Small group ministries, stewardship, giving, leadership, and strategy. These systems tie together the church and allow the church to operate to its fullest potential. Now, we know that the church is the body of Christ, and this is Christ's church. This is the Lord's church, and no amount of human intelligence or human ingenuity is going to suffice for the anointing and the power of God. The church operates because of the power of God. It is not a social club. It is not a business institution. It is the mystical body of Christ. And as such, we are privileged to be members of this body, being called out of the power from the kingdom of darkness into the fellowship of the children of light, out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. We are kingdom citizens. And I think that as such, it's important for us to understand that we want to understand the laws of God's kingdom so we can operate in the kingdom of God to its fullest extent. I want to go through Romans chapter 8 with you to break this down. Before we go in, and the reading tonight will be real simple. It's going to be right in front of you. And all I need is a person to volunteer, to unmute, and to begin to read. Now, I've got about 5 slides tonight. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, you can put down, you can volunteer and say slide 1, slide 2, slide 3, slide 4, et cetera, et cetera. SNH said I'll read. So we're going to let that person be the first. Deacon Austin said, I'll read. I'm going to ask him to take the second. Sister Tilly could take the third. Sister Denise can take the fourth. So I'm just going to ask you all to rehearse that back in the chat. SNH will be the first. Amen. Amen. Brother Paul, where are you? Okay, there you go. And SNH and Dale got five. Wonderful. We got it covered. I want you to understand the laws of the Spirit. The laws of the Spirit. Let me help you understand. There's a law of forgiveness. There's the law of reaping and sowing. There is the law of the vine and the branch. There is the law of position and promotion. There is the law of victory through surrender. There is a law of primary interest. That's talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is the laws of faith. There is the law of sin and death. And then the night's focus is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's understand the law of sin and death. Every person born into this world, except Jesus, was born with a nature yielded to sin, instinctively sinful and rebellious towards God. This nature was received through our first birth. This law of sin and death infected all of humanity because of the actions of one man, Adam. Adam's sin caused an avalanche of problems to come upon all of humanity. And it has affected us from the time he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From the first bite, it's still biting us. We're still affected by it. We are still impacted by it. And that has resulted in a horrible display of man's inhumanity toward man, a lawless and godless society. And even now, we're living in the last days. People will not mend their ways. They're calling what is right wrong and calling what is wrong right. We are seeing that even those who stand for righteousness are condemned, being called hate mongers, being called extremists, being called radical, calling the church, the true church, everything but a child of God. The Bible says, marvel not that the world will hate you, for it hated me. The scripture says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And anytime light comes to shine in a place, light exposes, light illuminates, light brings things out from the dark. And because sin is equated with the concepts of darkness, the light is associated with revelation and salvation, deliverance, and the things of God. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in dark places, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, could not overwhelm it. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And so this law of sin and death has wreaked havoc, resulted in all kinds of atrocities, all kinds of indecencies and immoralities, and it's only gotten worse. We've just seen not too long ago the attacks, the continuous attack upon people of color in our country that has resonated with people around the world in horror, even with George Floyd, one of the most prominent recent deaths at the hands of people in blue. It's a shame that those that were sworn to protect and serve have become some of the primary individuals that have worked atrocities upon people of color in our country, and it's still going on. That's because of the mystery of iniquity that doth work as well, the spirit of sin in the world. But thank God, as a person yields their lives to God, there is freedom, there is deliverance, and it's in this law. I'm going to ask somebody to begin the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This law is a part of the new creation reality. This is what happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. You come into the system that God has designed based upon his presence. His presence, his power is a law all to itself. His presence and his anointing is a law in and of itself. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hands are pleasures forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. These things are a part. This is what God does. And a law is something that operates independent of anything else. It's not dependent on anything. It's not subject to anything. It doesn't alter itself for anything. God is a law to himself, and his love toward us. Oh, God, let's get into this text. Romans chapter 4, chapter 8, because I want you to understand that as a spirit-filled believer, where all humanity is subject to law, those that surrender to God, those that accept what Christ has done, come into a new law, a new experience, because God so loved the world. God's love is a law. It operated on its own, did not need any encouragement. He commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. This is the power of a law. And this law works in those, this law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it works in everybody that's truly born again. This law is the only law. And I want you to make a note of this. The law of sin and death is powerful because the entire world has been subject to it. And there's no law that can overcome and overwhelm or break that law. The only law that can break the grip of the law of sin and death is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It necessitated death, but it gives the believer a new nature. And this new nature is the manifest power of God working in us. And if God is working in us, then there's a new law. There's a new law at work. Let's dig into this. Number one, we got SNH is going to share with us slide one, Romans chapter 8, verses 1-4. For those that are not seeing it, this is the first slide, is Romans chapter 8, verse 1-4. Please begin.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Thank you, daughter. SNH, Sandra Noah Harmony, bless her heart. There is therefore now, the guilty verdict has been taken off of you. And I want you to understand, as a spirit-filled believer, we do not walk with guilt. We walk with righteousness. Now, it's not self-righteousness. It's not based upon what we have accomplished. The righteousness that we have has been bestowed upon us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness by faith in what Christ has done for us. And so the boldness and audacity of our righteousness is not conceit, but confidence. And this confidence lifts condemnation. So you have to understand, condemnation is not just an emotional response. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And the devil wants to bring the guilty verdict back on you with punishment, condemnation. So it's not just condemnation is not just a guilty verdict. It's a guilty verdict with a consequence. It's a guilty verdict with a punishment. And because Christ has already been punished for us, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Because Christ took the sin, we can be bestowed the righteousness. And so under those conditions, there is no condemnation. If you operate outside of faith in Christ, if you operate outside of submission to Christ, then the spirit of guilt and condemnation is waiting to overwhelm you. But when you, we're going to get into the other verses, and I need to break this down, because you've got to understand that your walk will reflect who's operating on the inside, who's sitting on the throne. It's what we do, not what we say. Look at a person's actions and attitude. Some people will speak in tongues, but they got a nasty attitude. They'll speak in tongues, but they have a sometimey attitude. Sometimes they want to do, sometimes they don't want to do. Sometimes they'll be cooperative, other times they'll be difficult. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. The Spirit of God is a spirit that offers itself up to serve. It's a servant spirit. Christ became, he became a servant in the form of flesh for us. He served the will of God. He served the will of God. It wasn't the will of the flesh. It wasn't the will of man. It was the will of God. And as a result, walking in the spirit is submitting to the will of God. You can only walk in the spirit if you've been freed from the power of the law of sin and death. This is why the religionist will experience frustration, because they are operating based upon principles of do and don't do, but they're not operating based upon the law of deliverance, which means I have surrendered myself to the Lord. I have operated in obedience through repentance, water baptism, and gone on by faith to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. This is a spiritual thing. This is not an emotional thing. This is not a man-made thing. Now, while there are emotional things and man-made things, this is not that. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, where the Lord said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is, we are not walking in the flesh, but the power of freedom has been poured out upon our flesh. It's been poured out upon our nature. The nature of sin has been overwhelmed by the nature of God. There is nothing that can break the nature of sin but the Spirit of God. And Paul says resoundingly, after coming out of chapter 7, which is a chapter of the conundrum, chapter 8 is the chapter of the conqueror. He moves from being overwhelmed, God, by the sin nature, knowing the law of God, that the law is good and righteous and holy. But when you bring the human nature into the construct of God's righteous laws, we might agree with them with our minds, but when it comes down to acting on it with our bodies, that's where the problem is. And Paul said that when I would do good, evil is always present. And the good that I would do, I don't do. And I find myself doing the evil that I wouldn't do. In other words, what I don't want to do, what I'm not mindful to do. I've been trained better. I've been brought up better. I've learned better. I know better. But he finds himself in the conundrum. Chapter 7 is the conundrum. Chapter 8 is the conqueror. And he comes out of chapter 7 and go into chapter 8, declaring, who shall deliver me from the body of this sinful death? That's the place that he's in when he's in chapter 7. It's a place of prison. It's a place of imprisonment. And then he says, oh, but I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I understand it with my mind. It is my human faculties are in alignment with it, but I'm dealing with another nature. And that nature is the flesh. And through the flesh, I am subject to the law of sin. And chapter 8 is where everything changes, because chapter 7 was the place of bondage. And when you come into chapter 8, you're coming out of bondage. Somebody ought to say, if you have the Holy Spirit, put it down and, you know, I'm not in bondage. God has not given me the spirit of fear, not given me the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given me the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. That's in chapter 8, too. I'm jumping ahead here. Y'all pray with me in Jesus' name. I'm not walking after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life. Here, this law is the nature of God. So we're talking about warring natures. Warring natures. The nature of the flesh versus the nature of God. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the nature of God comes in. It's God's nature operating in you now. It is not by force, it's by surrender. And this law, this nature, the nature of God, coming to us based upon the sacrifice of Christ. This is why this law, the law of the spirit of life, in Christ. This life is only available in Jesus. You cannot come to God except by Jesus. There's no other way. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. Jesus is the only way to access the power of God and the presence of God. And so the law of the spirit of life in Christ, the spirit of the nature of God, has made me free. God's nature has released me. I'm free from the vicious cycle of the law of my flesh, or the nature of flesh, my natural, my flesh, the natural man. I am operating by the nature of God, which puts me into the supernatural. And I want you to understand that this supernatural transference affects every aspect of our lives. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free. It's the nature of God. I receive the nature of God when I receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. This is God. This is God. This is God's spirit in us. This is God. And you need God in your life. You cannot make it without God. I don't care how smart you are, how pretty you are, how brilliant you are. You cannot make it without God. Without me, you are nothing. This is what the Lord says. He says, if we don't abide in him, Jesus talks about this in the law of the vine and the branch. He says to us, he is the vine, we are the branches. Except we abide in him, we die. that's as straightforward as that. If we withdraw ourselves by attitude and lifestyle, you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But if you withdraw yourself from God and his word in attitude and in lifestyle, you are operating in your flesh. And there's consequences to this. The law of the spirit of life, the nature of God, has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is no bondage. There's a worship song. I don't remember who does it. It might be one of those Hillsong groups or something like that. Zoe, if you're on the line, I think you know it. But that song is a powerful song. My grandson Noah loves that song. We turn that song on the TV, and he stops whatever he's doing, and he goes, there is no bondage. I'm not going to mimic him or try to mock him, because I think it's powerful when a child can be so drawn to the anointing of God that you don't even have to, what's interesting is you don't have to tell the child to respond. Our grandson responded by Jubilee Worship. Thank you, Zoe. Our grandson, he wasn't even 3 years old at the time. He responded to that. There was something that resonated within him. The Bible says, except we become as little child, we can in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. I mean, this the nature. It's the nature, you know, even before you are at the age of accountability, God can reach a soul. God can reach your heart. And he loves that song. He loves that song. The law was perfect and holy and just. It gave us the construct of how to approach God, how to interact with God, how to interact with each other. It was the system of conduct for all. But what it couldn't do is change my flesh. It couldn't change. It didn't have the power to change my nature. It might give me guidelines to change my behavior. And if my behavior got out of line, it gave me a system for reconciliation, which was the offerings. The offerings were the systems that allowed me to enjoy relationship with God, or allowed the old covenant, those under the old covenant, to enjoy relationship and fellowship with God. God put that system in place built upon the law of reconciliation and the law of engagement with him. He had to put something in place because the law was too much for the people to come up to. And so the whole system of the priesthood, the system of the offerings, glory to God, the system of the tabernacle, they were put in place because man could not keep the law, because man was weak in the flesh. And so God sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he came into our world looking like us, walking around like us, talking, talking the mechanism of talking like us, interaction like us. He sent his son in the likeness of who he needed to rescue. He sent his son in the likeness of those to whom he would be kin. He sent his son, not as a lamb, not as a bullock, not as a turtle dove, not as an animal, but as a person. And as such, he became like us in our form, experiencing our experiences, in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He became like us because every priest that served under the old covenant was taken from amongst men. The priest came from the people. And the priest represented the people to God and God to the people. And so Jesus coming, everything about Jesus was better than everything under the old system, under the old covenant. The new covenant is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. A better priesthood. He is our great high priest that has gone into heaven itself. A better offering. For by one sacrifice, by one offering, hath he forever perfected us. It's not a repeat. He did it one time and that was it. Jesus is better than all of it. And when he came, he took on our sin so that the requirements of the law could be fulfilled. He met the requirements himself for us so that the worldly nature that we were bound to could be broken by the nature of God. So now we can obey God's laws if we operate by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The ultimate goal of the law was to bring us into fellowship and relationship with God, to reconcile man to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The world could not come to God. God had to come to the world. And God did that in Jesus. God, help me tonight. This is just getting good to me. We got to go to slide number 2. This is minister now. Junior Deacon Austin, slide number 2. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the... But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Thank you. This passage introduces a new concept. It introduces the concept of the carnal mind. The carnal mind. Now let's keep in mind that Paul is writing to spirit-filled believers and explaining to them the power of their new life. In the context of the audience as spirit-filled believers that have been spirit-filled, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're saved. We're saved. He's explaining how this law works. And so he says to this audience, they that are after the flesh, those that are driven by their sinful nature, driven by their world, by worldliness, they don't mind the things. They do the things of the flesh. Whatever they are driven by is the things that they seek for. I hope you heard that. Whatever they are driven by, that's the things they seek for. For they that are driven by the flesh, they seek after the things of the flesh. They that are driven by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit. You've ever felt the impulse of God, the unction of God? You ever felt the leading of the Lord, the Lord directing or the Lord forbidding? That's the unction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will unctionize. It will give you it will guide you. It will give direction. The unction is the direction of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you will have had the unction of God move on you. And Paul says that there's a distinct difference between people who call themselves Christians and those who are not Christians. Because the nature of sin is leading. Now, this is very, very powerful here. You need to understand this. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the mind... You may speak in tongues, but the question is, what kind of mind do you have? Mm-hmm. It's not about the tongue. It's about the mind. It's about the mind. What are you following? What's driving you? Is your flesh driving you, or is the spirit driving you? So to be carnally minded, you can be, you can have the Holy Ghost and be carnal minded. This introduced the concept of another state of being, because on the one hand, you've got the natural man. On the other hand, you have the spiritual man or woman. And now you've got the carnal man. So where does that all stand? The natural person is the person that's not regenerated. The spiritual person is this person that is regenerated by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the carnal person is the person that's been regenerated, but still is operating by the mind of the flesh. Carnal. Carnal. That word carnal, it means of the flesh. It's carne, which talks about mortal, human, of the flesh, carnivorous, carnival. You know, the idea of the carnival is generally a flesh show, a show of the flesh. And the idea of carnal, it's characterized by the flesh or the body or the passions or the appetites, sensual pleasures. It's not talking about another type of flesh, like different pieces of material, leather, satin, wool, fleece. No, the flesh, when the scripture is talking about the flesh, it's not talking about that part of you that's touchable. It's talking about a nature. It's talking about the nature of sin. And a person that's carnally minded is a spirit-filled person that's allowing their flesh to dictate to them. We've been in a place where we've gotten out of God's will, and the Holy Ghost will never get you out of God's will. It's the flesh that does that. And Paul says in verse 6, to be spiritually minded is peace. It's life and peace. It's not a fantasy world. It's not a fantasy idea. It is the difference between being able to sleep at night and not. It's the difference between understanding that I am a work in progress and I'm not going to beat myself up, neither am I going to make, I'm going to give myself an excuse to do sin. Romans chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue to live in sin? To be carnally minded is enmity or hostility toward God. Enmity speaks of hostility. It speaks of a polar opposite, not just in terms of direction, but in terms of essence. The carnal mind is driven by the flesh. The essence of the carnal mind is not the essence of God. Oh, God, help me on this phone. I've got to end on this slide. The carnal mind is at such odds and at such, it's like a ferocity. It's an animosity, like anger and hatred. The carnal spirit hates the things of God and it wars within us. And this is why that struggle is real, because there's a battle going on. And Paul wants us to understand through the spirit, through the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that we win. And I need you to put that in your notes. That's a great way to end. Based upon the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we win. We win. We win. We win. We win. They that are in the flesh. Paul says you can't please God. You've got to get out of your flesh. In other words, get out of your will and allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. I got to end this right now because of the time factor, and we'll pick it up with the next slide, which is slide number 3, which is going to go into verses 9 through 13. This is going to change the trajectory of your spiritual walk as you understand the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. A lot of times people talk about it, but they don't understand it. And it's not, it's good to hear it, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You got to hear it. But faith is not just what you hear. It comes by what you hear, but it's demonstrated by what you do. You don't. And the interesting thing is, the more faith you do, the stronger your faith becomes. It comes by hearing, it's manifested by doing, and it gets stronger in the process. It comes by hearing, glory. It comes by hearing, it's manifested by doing. Faith without works is dead, and it gets stronger in the process. Your faith can grow, and that's what I want you to know. Your faith can grow. So the last two powerful points is we win by the power of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We win. We win. We win. And when you exercise your faith, you grow. You grow. You grow. I've got to end it. I've got to give us time to go into prayer. We have got enough to pray for tonight. Every individual representing the men, the women, and the youth, I need you to pray according to this lesson for the revelation and that practical application. It's not enough to have the revelation. It's got to be applied in a practical way, because this freedom is real. My God, I got to let this go to our prayer leaders can come at this time. I'm going to decrease and let them increase at this time. Representative for the men, representative for the women, representative for the young person, come at that in that order in Jesus' name.
Eternal God, our Father, even right now, we come to you knowing, dear God, that you are in our midst, because your word tells us that where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing in your name, that you would be there in the midst. And so before we say another word, Father, we honor you for being here among us. We honor you, dear God, because you, the master and the maker of the universe, have come and tabernacled amongst men. And so we don't take it lightly, Father. We don't count it as an everyday occurrence, because you, the one who made the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the seas, and all that is in them, you are here with us at this moment. And so, Father, as we acknowledge that reality, we also look upon your omniscience, dear God. We look upon your providence and your ability, dear God, to direct our lives. And we realize, Father, that if you can shape the sun that is in the sky and has been shining for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, since your one word brought it into existence, if you are powerful enough to do that, Father, you are powerful enough to shape and mold our wills if we will surrender them to you. So, dear God, as we have sat here this evening and gone over what you in your word have to tell us about being free from sin and death, as we have sat here, dear God, under the tutelage of our pastor, dear Lord, and we have received what your word has had in it for thousands of years, this is not something new that you, dear God, have just said, but it is something, dear God, that we are praying that you will newly plant within us so that it will take root today. Because the reality of it, dear Lord, is that every single last one of us are walking along this road of life. But it is my prayer, Father, that we do not walk according to the flesh, that we do not walk according to the desires and the lust and the mandates of our own will and desires, of our own will and passions, Father. But rather, I pray, dear Lord, that we would be driven by the Spirit. It is my prayer, dear God, that we will look to you and what it is that you say we ought to do long before we look to what it is that we want and what we are trying to accomplish. Because it is so easy for us to even take the good things that you have placed before us and to twist them when we look at them through our own eyes, when we try to put our own hands on them. And so, Father, we pray that just as you are in the midst right now, that you would walk with us from day to day. We pray, dear God, that the same testimony that was given of Enoch would be given of us, that we walk with God. And just as even Abel, dear God, who is dead, testifies because of his righteousness, we pray, Father, that our walk, that our love for you, that our obedience to you, that our willingness to surrender our own way to you will testify to you of our love for you and our desire for you. We pray even right now, dear Lord, that you would wash our minds with your word. We desire, dear Lord, that you would take the hearts of stone out of us and give us hearts of flesh. Make them soft and pliable so that they would be able to be molded and shaped by you. And now unto you, Father, who is able to keep us from falling and able to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. To you, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we love you. We adore you. We bow down before you. We bless your holy name, O God, because you alone is worthy to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, we give you the glory, God, for allowing us this time and space, God, to come before your presence, to worship you, to hear your words, my God. Jesus, to be fed by this spiritual food. Lord Jesus, as we get this feeding, my God, this spiritual food, my God, help us, oh God, to take it, oh God, slowly, to take it in, my God, to digest it, my God, so that we may able to apply your words to our hearts. Lord, your words told us that we should hide your words in our hearts so we might not sin against you. Lord Jesus, we are nothing on our own. Of ourselves, we are nothing. We are a complete failure, God, without you. And so, God, we realize that we need you, God, in all that we do. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to seek you first. Lord God, the kingdom of God and all your righteousness and all other things will be added unto us. Help us, oh God, to take you at your words. Lord, at times we waver in our faith. At times, oh God, we go against your will. At times, oh God, we even disobey, oh God, what your words instruct us to do. But I pray even right now, mighty God, as we come before your presence, God, I place every single woman, my God, in your hands. Lord Jesus, you know of our struggles. You see, oh God, our shortcomings. Lord, you see where we have failed you. Lord Jesus, you see, oh God, ways, oh God, where we are not applying your words in our daily lives. And so, God, we struggle, my God, to please you. But I pray, God, even right now, that you will lay your hands up every single woman, my God, on this line. Jesus, every single woman, my God, that's under the sound, oh God, of our shepherd, the voice of our shepherd. Lord Jesus, that we will take your words and we will, oh God, apply them to our hearts. Jesus, because, oh God, your words we must hide in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. Lord God, help us, oh God, to strive to please you, God, in all that we do. Lord God, and help us to realize in order to please you, Jesus, we have to take you at your words. We have to be obedient to your words. We have to apply your words to our lives and to our hearts. Jesus, we need you to help us, my God, so that self, oh God, will be removed out of the way, my God. And Jesus, that your spirit will take full control, oh God, of our daily lives. Lord God, so that we can live a life pleasing unto you. Lord God, know that holiness unto the Lord should be our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we tarry along. Jesus, help us to live a life holy, God, a life that's free from sin, a set apart life from sin. Lord Jesus, a life that pleases you, God, a life, oh God, that pleases you in all that we do, in our walk, my God, in our talk, Lord God, in our sitting and in our uprising. Jesus, help us to please you. Let self be slain, I pray, God, and let Christ be only seen. Lord, this robe of flesh that we wear, it causes us to falter and it causes us to fail. But God, your words instructed us, God, that we should live in the spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus, because this flesh, my God, will cause us, oh God, to bring us down, my God, will cause us to fail. But Heavenly Father, we ask of you that you will guide our step, that you will guide our path daily. Help us, oh God, to trust you as we go along life's journey, to exercise faith in you, Jesus. And oh God, the way we're going to exercise faith in you, God, is to repeat your words, oh God, in our lives. At times we might feel like we just cannot make it, but we're going to repeat your words, oh God. We're going to reinforce those words in our spirit, because Lord God, you are not a man that you should lie to us. And God, you have given us, oh God, the tools, oh God, to live holy. And Jesus, all we need to do is to use those tools. At times we fail to use the tools, God. Help us, oh God, to apply your words to our heart, Jesus, to get a revelation, my God, of your words. And God, apply them, my God, daily to our daily lives, Lord God, because we realize of ourselves, oh God, we cannot make it. Lord, we are trusting in you. Help us, oh God, to trust you, mighty God, with our whole heart, our soul, and our might. Help us to stand on your words and to stand on your promises, knowing that when all around our soul gives way, God, you are our only hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And God, all other grounds are sinking sand. Jesus, help us to be very sure, God, that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock, Jesus, which is in you. Lord, as your words told us, oh God, in Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Jesus, this stands to show us, God, that we can live free from sin. Jesus, we don't have to be a victim of sin and death. Lord God, we have life in you, God, Lord, and we're standing on your promises. Jesus, help us, oh God, daily, just to apply your words to our life. Heavenly Father, you know, oh God, the struggles that we might have. But Lord God, we're not going to focus on that. Lord, we're going to focus on you. Jesus, give us a clear mind. Lord Jesus, know that your words told us it's with the mind one serve the Lord. Lord God, help us to have that made up mind to worship you and to serve you and to serve you a true. Lord God, to be true, oh God, to the trust. Lord God, help us not to falter. Help us not to fail. And even if we do, to brush ourselves off, my God. Lord Jesus, to pick up the cross, God, and to follow you. Lord God, have your own sweet divine way in our lives this evening. Hear our humble cry, mighty God. We need you, God. We need you. We need you. And so, God, we pray, oh God, that you will have your way in our lives, in each and every woman's lives on this line this evening. Lord God, I pray, oh God, that you will lead us and direct us into the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, we will fear no evil because we know you are with us, Jesus. Thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort us. Thou will prepare a table before us, God, in the presence of our enemies. You will anoint our heads with oil, God. Our cup will run over. Surely goodness and mercy, God, shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in your house forever. Help us to dwell with you, God. Help us to be determined to dwell with you, no matter what we might be faced with, God. Help us to dwell with you, to be determined, my God, to hold on to the end, because you're with us, God, and on you we can depend, Lord, because there's no failure in you. Lord Jesus, there's no lie in you. Jesus, we're trusting, God, in thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, hear us when we pray, mighty God, and take all our fears away. Oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. Hear our humble cry this evening, Lord. We ask of you, help us to be ready for your return. Jesus, help us to be ready. Help us to be ready, Lord. And whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Jesus, that's what we're willing to do. Lord, hear our cry this evening and attend unto our prayer. From the end of the earth, mighty God, we will cry unto you when our hearts are overwhelmed, Lord. Lead us to the rock that is higher than I. Jesus, we serve a great, big, wonderful God, a God that's always victorious, a God that's always watching over us. You're a great, big, wonderful God. We trust you tonight, Lord. We trust you every day of our lives, oh God. Wherever there is doubt and where there is fear, Lord, help us to replace it with your words, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, Lord Jesus, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus, work on our minds, God. Work on our minds, Jesus, because it's with the mind we serve you, God. We're trusting in you, Lord, and we ask these mercies. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Jesus, we thank you for waking us up this morning and keeping us safe throughout the day, oh God. We thank you for providing for us and keeping us safe under your blood, oh God. We thank you for dying on the cross for us and giving us a chance at life. I ask that if we have done anything wrong, that you can forgive us and help us to do the right thing. And I ask that You help every person to get a revelation of the law, of the spirit, of life in Christ Jesus, which hath made us free from the law and sin and death in our lives, and to apply it daily to our lives so we can be more and more like you, O God. And I ask that we will do this. We will do this. And I ask that you will help us to get through this, oh God, so that we can make it to your God.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless your name this night. We thank you, Lord, for the heart of your people that has been expressed in the prayers of these precious souls. We thank you for the growth that's taking place. We thank you for the boldness that's being developed. We thank you for the knowledge that's being strengthened and the conviction that's being deepened. We thank you that your word is an anchor for our soul, keeping us sure and steadfast. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our pathway. We thank you, O God, you declared even through Jesus that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that you speak unto us, they are spirit and they are life. We thank you, O God, that you have given us the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you have revealed to us this powerful law of liberty. Oh God, we are not the slaves of our flesh. We're not the slave of us of a sinful nature. We're not servants of sin, but servants of righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, because we can be happy and be saved. We can be pleasant and be saved. We can be prosperous and be saved. We can look good and be saved. We can be smart and be saved. We can be married and be saved. We can be single and be saved. Oh, God, I thank you, oh, for the law of the spirit of life that has made us free from the law of sin and death. I praise you for the revelation of your word that brings light to our spirits. Oh God, illuminate us by your spirit, oh God. Let it be that faith will grow within the heart of every listener, that faith will take root in the life of every listener, that the walk of faith would be prominent in the in the life of every listener. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, let the word that was shared this night resonate within our hearts. Let it reverberate like a sound, like deep, melodious sound, the richness of a bass sound. Oh God, the panoply of a conference or a concert with an orchestra. Oh God, the arrays of sounds, the woodwinds, the string instruments, oh God, the brass instruments, oh God, the percussion instruments, oh God, the flute, Lord God, the clarinet, the trumpet, oh God, the violin. Hey God, we bless your name for the sound of worship even now that emanates from we, your people, for we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We are the instruments in your hands. And so, Lord, let our coming together be harmonious. Let our coming together be melodious. Let our coming together be a sweet-smelling savor. And even right now, there's somebody that's thankful for their freedom. Lord God, sometimes the enemy will try to bring circumstances and situations that cause us not to feel it, but we know him whom we have believed in, and we are persuaded that you're able to keep what we commit unto you against that day. Thank you for sanctifying us before we understood what sanctification meant. Thank you for freeing us before we understood what the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus meant. Thank you for giving us power over the carnal mind and the fleshly nature, the nature of sin. Thank you for breaking the grip of sin and putting the grip of God on us. Thank you for gripping us. Thank you for your grip. Oh, Lord, I thank you that we are no longer under the grip of Satan, under the grip of sin, but we are kept by the grip of God. Hold us fast. Hold our hearts. Hold our minds. Hold our emotions. Oh, God, we give our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And so tonight, let every word that was shared bless your people. Every prayer that was prayed encourage the hearts. I thank you for the prayer warriors tonight, for the prayer leaders tonight. Oh, Spirit of the living God, bless them right now. Encourage and inspire their hearts. Lord God, I thank you that something new is about to be released. Your word is about to take them to another level. Their faith is about to be tried this week, but it's okay, because when we are tried, we will come forth as pure gold. And so tonight, I thank you for the gold in the making. I thank you for the gold in the fire. I thank you, Lord God, for the precious minerals, the precious stones, the precious elements of this world that cannot be consumed by fire, but are only refined by it. And so breathe on these, your precious people, they who are being refined. We thank you for them now, and we pray this blessing on them, Lord, that you would keep them, that you would preserve them, that you will seal them, that you will give them revelation of what they have in you and what they are in you and who you are in them. And so we commit them into thine hand, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name we pray. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, in Jesus' name.